I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for joining me for Let's Hear It, an hour of arts interviews on Classical WMUK. Today, we'll be previewing a concert that's tonight, so put it on your calendar now. It features a wonderful tenor soloist named John Wesley Wright, and he's here in the studio along with Dr. Ken Pruitt, voice professor at Western Michigan University. Welcome to you both. Let's hear your voices.
Thank you very much. Delighted to be here.
I am not going to ask either of you to sing on the radio.
Oh.
We'll save it for tonight.
I just knew Ken wanted to sing today.
Yeah, not this hour.
Understandably, the voice, as I've learned through so many years of talking to vocalists, it's an instrument that needs to be warmed up and treated right. So we'll stick to tea and conversation this morning.
Okay.
Ken, tell me about John Wesley Wright's residency at Western Michigan University. I'm sure it was set up many months or a year ago. And what had you bring this particular artist to WMU?
I met John a couple of years ago at a National Association of Teachers of Singing National Convention in Las Vegas. I observed him work with some of his students.
We were not gambling.
Not at that moment.
I mean,
not at that moment.
Yeah, a little gambling's okay.
Yes.
And then I checked him out, and he sings with the American Spiritual Ensemble. And I was very impressed and pleased and thought that it was something that we might really grow from here at Western. And so we chatted for over a year before things were really solidified. And I wrote a grant through the College of Fine Arts, and we received some funding. And so he's been here since Friday. He did a master class with our voice students on Friday. On Saturday, he judged the concerto aria competition for the university. He's been working with the choirs Monday, Tuesday, and again some today. He's been doing some private teaching, and he did me a favor and popped into my studio class yesterday and taught some more. So it's really exciting to see what's going on in the students here, and I'm already well aware of his performance, and I think it's going to be a wonderful program this evening.
Tonight's concert is called Spirituals, From Ship to Shore. And not only will Mr. Wright be featured as a soloist, but many parts of the School of Music, soloists and ensembles, will be mixed in to the program, which starts at 7:30. It is a ticketed event. You can get tickets at the door or ahead of time through the Miller Auditorium box office. And because it's the live and interactive series, arriving at 7 o'clock gives you a preview, a live preview from stage of the program. And Ken, I think you're going to be helping cover that tonight.
Yes. We thought it might be a good idea to give John a little break before he had to sing. He's been pretty busy while he's here.
So. Sounds like it. Yeah.
It's been fun, though.
Good.
It really has.
Glad to hear it. Oh, John, I know that Western actually has quite a number of talented singers, talented classical singers, music theater too, and jazz, in this department. But they all seem very different, and they have different goals and different ideas. And when you're assessing or reacting to a singer here at school, are you trying to keep in mind that they have different plans?
Well, I'm glad you brought that aspect up. I have never been the kind of classical singer that fit into a very traditional box. And so from a very young age, and when I first started teaching at 27 years old, have been aware of those differences. And so this has been a great fit here, this residency at Western, because I am able to sense young students' different ideas and desires and take them where they are. And so it's been a really neat journey to hear so many talented folks and get to know what they are looking forward to in the future.
Would you tell us a little more about what that was like for you? Were you in a program that said, here's the boxes you need to tick off, and then you'll have your degree and go into this track?
I think for me, I grew up in Rome, Georgia, and it was a wonderful but rather conservative town. And my family's still there, doing a concert there this weekend. It was the era of the television show Fame, and I don't know if those listeners out there remember that show, but I was completely enamored with the show Fame and the character Leroy, and I knew at some point in my life that I was going to dance and sing, and I did not know where it was going to lead me. I didn't even know at that time why I wanted to do it. But I went to college. I went to the music department, sat in on a lady's senior recital. She was singing in all these different languages. And I said, I want to do that. And so I changed my major. I joined the dance company, and I changed my major to music, not having a clue where it was going to lead me. So then it became everybody else's idea that I would be the next opera singer, the next great opera singer. And I just went for that ride as long as I could through graduate school and a doctoral program. And wow. And then along the way, I was exposed to some wonderful influences, a lady from the group Sweet Honey and the Rock, who is a good friend of mine, yeah. Issei Barnwell. You'll see her name plastered throughout this program. We're doing some of her arrangements tonight. Linda Tillery, who is a cultural heritage guru out on the West Coast. And I sat in workshops and I was like, oh my goodness, you know. I want to do that too, you know. I don't just want to sing this next Italian aria. I would like to embrace these. And these were sounds that I heard as a child in church. And so over time, I have learned that it's okay to wear different hats. That it's completely okay to be who you are. And sing music theater, sing opera, sing oratorio, sing work songs, and ring shouts, and all of the above. So
they all speak to the heart.
They all speak to the heart.
And you kept your ears open the whole time. You know, you didn't
Absolutely.
Just like, okay, I'm just gonna stay in this box. But you kept
absolutely, absolutely. It was an important lesson because, you know, I come from a line of preachers and teachers in my family. And so, you know, this one track mind of being a superstar opera singer or a superstar anything there's only a very, very small percentage of folks who actually do that. And, you know, the rest of us wear lots of different hats, and we get to influence others and teach students and bring communities together through the knowledge we gain.
Tenor John Wesley Wright is my guest here today, along with Dr. Ken Pruitt. And Mr. Wright is a special guest artist of the School of Music at Western Michigan University, active here since last Friday and culminating in a big public concert tonight that anyone can attend. Music will begin at 7:30 p.m. in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. The program is called Spirituals, From Ship to Shore. We just heard from John about his story, where he came from a family of people who know how to deliver a message, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
And that's something you're continuing. Any thoughts on what John said, Ken? I'm sure you talk to your students all the time about their past.
Well, I will talk about him, however, because I've been observing him for these last 4 days and what he's doing. And I think the thing that is most impressive about what he does with our students is his passion for the art. He's incredibly energetic because he's doing a lot of stuff and he really keeps it going. But he is motivational and inspirational in what he does. And it's not just enough to sing it. You have to think about what you're doing. The whole idea that he's really tried to impress on our students has been that there's if you don't have something to say, then don't say it. And he's really, I think, influenced them that way. And I've seen the lights come on when he's talking about some of the early influences on the spiritual with the choirs. It's really been fascinating. I think I'm about as excited about this concert tonight as any I've been to in about 15 years. So,
wow, listen to that.
I have to say I'm a little bit biased, but I am quite thrilled. This has been a wonderful journey to come into as an outsider, you know, and
it's
to
your first time here.
It's my first time to Kalamazoo, to the zoo, as they say. And this is a great city. I have to say thank you for all this wonderful food and
food
and cocktails that you've got in the city. I'm
glad you're
that's enough to make a person want to come back. But more than that, I'm overwhelmed by the talent that I have seen, the willingness of the students to go with and buy in to the message that I've been trying to sell.
Before we get much further, we should mention that joining John Wesley Wright tonight with accompanist Christopher Gray will be Rhea Olivace, Grace Van Hoven, two wonderful sopranos, Michael Montgomery, baritone soloist, and then ensembles, the women's group Anima, Amphion, is that the male?
Mm-hmm. Tenor bass.
And the Collegiate Singers and University Chorale, bringing this concert together.
Absolutely. And the audience will be participating too. He hasn't shared that yet with you yet, but it's really inclusive in every way.
So we're going to learn a little something tonight.
Yes,
with this program.
I hope so. I've seen as Ken referred to the light bulbs. I've seen many light bulbs go on in the last 4 days, I'm thrilled by that. I mean, we all want to feel like we're sharing something and making a difference. And what I've tried to do with this program is to take the formalized, westernized, arranged spirituals, both choral and solo, and put them in perspective. Meaning that we are going to, through participation, take a look at what came before these works were formalized and how they came full circle after they were formalized. So we are basically walking from the sounds of African chant to the present. And there is no other right way to do that than to have everyone participate. And it is going to be a blast.
This is a program called Spirituals From Ship to Shore. And an amazing coincidence, just personally, last October, a young woman who is a Western grad named Monica Washington Padula put together a concert that showcased spirituals and their meaning. And I interviewed her and a gentleman named Dr. Romeo Phillips about the program. And my eyes were opened to how important the spiritual is today and why it needs to be nurtured. My question, my first question for her was like, I thought spirituals are okay. And, you know, you can, they don't necessarily need to have to be taught, or I don't know what I thought, but okay. I just thought spirituals are, they're just part of our history and we know a lot about it. But no, in fact, there's a lot you can do to relearn your foundations of music and why spirituals are so, so critical and important.
If I could, I'm going to give away a tiny bit of my lecture tonight, but I want to just piggyback on what you just said. You know, it's not only important for us to revisit the spiritual historically in a historical nature, but it's really important for us to be aware that the spiritual has integrated itself into our everyday lives.
Everything, yeah.
Yes. And I can give you a couple of examples. I want to say not too long, like maybe a year ago, I'm watching one of Anthony Bourdain's shows, you know, one of the food, he travels to different areas of the globe. And I want to say it was Israeli food in this particular episode. And because of this work that I do, I'm always, my antennas are always up. And, you know, I'm watching this show and getting hungrier and hungrier by the minute. And out of the blue, a professional whistler whistles the spiritual Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho.
So.
Okay.
So what a random thing to hear.
Well,
he's halfway around the globe.
Is it a random thing to hear, or is it? I mean, it relates to the area he was in. It's fit right in. I'll give you another example. Phone. We are so tied to our phones. A phone commercial. Mm-hmm. I want to say it was Samsung something i11 or whatever. I'm not up on it, but it was a commercial where you see a whole slew of dogs come around a corner, and the dogs come running down the street, and the music behind it is, guide my feet while I run this race. Guide my feet, Lord, while I run this race. And it's all the dogs running down the street.
I think I've seen that.
That is not only a spiritual, an old spiritual, Negro spiritual, but it's also a spiritual that was repurposed during the Civil Rights Movement. So spirituals are everywhere around us. We don't even think about it. They are just there.
John Wesley Wright will be performing tonight with members of the Western Vocal Faculty and vocal ensembles, preparing a very special concert you may not hear of, and you know, anywhere around here again soon. It's at 7:30 tonight in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, and let's take a short break. What I have here is a choir called Conspirare, and so this is one of the more technical groups, I guess. It's a highly arranged kind of sound that, of course, takes its cue from the plain spiritual, but has westernized.
Exactly. Yeah. And tonight you're going to hear things like that, but it will be in the context of experiencing things that are much rawer. Okay, so
be prepared.
There we go. Be prepared.
I got a crown up in that kingdom, into that good news.
The group is called Conspirare, and we heard their arrangement of Ain't That Good News, and it is good news to have John Wesley Wright here on campus at Western Michigan University, preparing a concert for tonight that will be an unforgettable traversal of the elements of spirituals, how they go from their history in Africa to the present day. So let's get a little bit into how you break down spirituals. I know that I mentioned Dr. Romeo Phillips, and he said there are basically three categories, he thinks. One is songs of faith, another is songs of comfort, and then signaling, which was the coded messages for how to escape. And I'm curious about your categories.
Well, I would agree with those categories thematically. Because we're on a campus of a fabulous music department, I would say to look at the three categories from a musical standpoint, and that would be slow sustained arrangements, faster syncopated quick arrangements, and then call and response arrangements. And for the program, the program is broken up into we start out with examples of Africanisms, and then we look at how those Africanisms have survived in spirituals, and how those Africanisms have survived in arranged spirituals, and then how those Africanisms have survived in art song. So, and then we look at how the spiritual has come full circle. And I call that section New Destinations. And then we finally get to New Departures, the way that you hear that the spiritual has become gospelized. There's an arrangement that we're doing that sounds a little bit more like a barbershop type, has a barbershop type sound. It's just the ways that it has influenced. And then at the very end, we do a contemporary song by a West African band, and we show truly full circle how the African chant is being used in a popular, contemporary way.
Did you arrive on campus with your arms filled with arrangements and printed music, or is some of this like generated in practice and in preparation?
I'm laughing because so I mentioned to you earlier that my two main influences for this type of work have been Isai Maria Barnwell, who was now the retired, she's retired from the group Sweet Honey in the Rock. She was the bass in the group. And also Linda Tillery, out on the West Coast. And when I would apprentice with them or be a part of their workshops, you would constantly have people come up to them and ask for the arrangements, you know. And just I just can remember the looks on their face because the whole point of the workshop was to learn in the oral tradition. And she would just very politely say, no, there are no arrangements. We are going to be learning these things in the oral tradition. And so while people have written some of these things down, and it would be actually quite easy to do so. I tried not to bring music, and we just, I can't tell you how fast the kids have picked them up, the things up, because, and it's just lit a fire underneath them, and they're just having a blast. and we're up in the ring. We're going to do two ring shouts. The ring shout is predates the spiritual. It is the oldest surviving African-American song tradition. There are elements of dance and percussion, and we are actually going to be doing them. We will be up in circling Dalton Recital Hall, and it will be quite a time.
You can't carry music.
Yeah, you can't carry music while you're doing, you know, doing the eagle wing or flying, you know, or shouting or praying and a ring shout. So we're throwing away the music.
Listeners, you're getting a real inside look at what's going to happen tonight at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall when John Wesley Wright leads a concert called Spirituals from Ship to Shore, assisted by Ria Olavache, Grace Van Hoven, Michael Montgomery, and the choirs Anima, Amphion, the Collegiate Singers, and the University Chorale. Ken, this is just extraordinary. What a wonderful change of pace for the students to... You know,
that's for sure. And I think it's been really great. There was one moment early on when he was talking to one of the choirs and they were doing really well. And he says, "You're naturally born sliders, you know, sliding from pitch to pitch." And then he went on to say, scoopers, that's what it was, scoopers. And he went on to say, "Now, you can't do that in your classical stuff, but in this you can." And it was really nice to see that, you know, we do different things in different styles of music, and they all are acceptable in the appropriate circumstance. And I think that's one of the things I've heard comments from students about, you know, this is fun, and I'm getting to do things that I don't usually get to do, and I understand that I should be doing it in this kind of music. So it's been great.
And the audience will get to do a little bit, too, tonight.
We're going to take the audience on the ride of the century. If they, you know, I always say there are going to be people there and they, you know, that come, oh, I'm coming to, you know, listen to a concert. But it'll be very apparent very quickly that the experience is participatory. And I want to say to those folks who might think, oh, but I don't sing, you know, there's safety in numbers. And there are a lot of numbers. All the choir folks there are being great leaders, and you'll be just fine.
It sounds like a wonderful time, this concert, Spirituals from Ship to Shore, that also touches on the African music that influenced and that the enslaved individuals brought to United States and America and became part of the tradition of this country. I guess just bring in some contemporary things. Who gets to sing spirituals? Who owns spirituals? What are your thoughts on that?
Who owns spirituals? America owns spirituals. One of the great points that I hope people will take from tonight is we have. You're going to hear extremely well-performed spirituals sung by Caucasian singers, by African-American singers, by a predominantly white choir. I purposefully chose an arranged spiritual by an African-American arranger and by a white arranger. And when these things are done well, it is truly America's music. It doesn't belong to one race or ethnicity. It is our history and it is our music.
Singing is honoring sometimes, you know, by learning a piece of music, you learn to love it and then you express your love through a piece of music, no matter who you are.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And we become aware. We become, as you said, the stylistic integrity of these pieces is important, but also the history behind them, the light bulbs that have gone off, and putting it all into context has been a joy to see, and I think that there's true ownership through that awareness.
Tonight's concert is at 7 o'clock for an introductory few minutes explaining what's about to happen during the concert, and then the music begins at 7:30 p.m. It's a ticketed event at the Dalton Center Recital Hall. You can buy tickets at the door or through the MillerAuditorium.com box office. And I think I'm going to give my guests, John Wesley Wright and Dr. Ken Pruitt, a moment to sit back and sip some more tea. Me too. So let's go back to this album, Sing Freedom, African American Spirituals. The group is called Conspirare. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, a very famous spiritual. And we heard an arrangement again from the ensemble Conspirare, led by Craig Helle Johnson. It's from their album Sing Freedom, African American Spirituals. And I'm afraid that here on WMUK, we're just barely hinting at what tonight's concert might really be like, what the experience will be. Because this is an album where you listen, and you listen to the arrangements, and, you know, you just don't participate. Tonight is not like that. Tonight,
indeed, it is not.
Tonight you will see musicians with no music communicating directly with you and asking once in a while for you to come into the experience.
Now, there will be times, I don't want to, you know, send the wrong impression. There will be times where we all will get to sit back and listen, because, you know, in the era of 2020, we have to give everybody everything that they need. So there's a little bit for those who are not like huge participatory moments. There are plenty of moments where you will be able to sit back and enjoy a traditionally delivered performance.
Another point we needed to make before we say goodbye is that you, John Wesley mm-hmm. Wright, you will be a soloist throughout this concert. We'll hear you in many moments, alone and with voices.
That's correct. In teaching the choirs about work songs and ring shouts, you know, I will take the lead on those numbers. I will be a soloist in one of the arranged choral numbers. I'll be in one of the solo art song numbers, and then continue to lead the audience in various spirituals from there.
So after you leave Western Michigan University, you'll go on somewhere else and bring your voice and your wonderful message elsewhere. What are some of the highlights you're looking forward to, and or returning home, or engagements that have you excited?
Oh, this is truly an exciting time, and This is really one of the highlights. To be here at Western Michigan is really one of the highlights of my winter. But right after this, I will go back to Baltimore, Maryland, where my students will take part in the National Association of Teachers of Singing competitions, which was mentioned earlier in the interview.
Yeah.
That's where Ken and I met at the national convention. And then I fly to Georgia to, I do a program with a classical guitarist called From Spain to Spirituals. And she's a wonderful colleague, and we are so privileged to be doing a concert for the Roland Hayes Museum in Calhoun, Georgia. And if you aren't familiar with Roland Hayes, he was an African American tenor in the early 20th century. Grew up in the same area, Northwest Georgia, where I grew up. And at one point, you would maybe think of him as the Paul Robeson of tenors, and he was. really,
singular.
Yes, and he was really, really at one point the highest paid tenor, you know, because he was so popular in Russia and Europe. And so then after that, I returned to the tour with the group that I've toured with now for 14 years called the American Spiritual Ensemble. And our next stop, I'm off the tour right now because I'm here. But I will rejoin the tour next Wednesday, and that stop is in my hometown. So we make a stop at Salisbury University on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, where we are known for making people feel very welcome, which I, by the way, thank you so much, Dr. Pruitt, for making me feel so welcome here.
You're very welcome.
It's been wonderful. Morning, just meeting you, John, and having you back, Ken. Listeners, if you are listening, you won't want to miss tonight's concert. It's at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. And thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Have a great stay.
Absolutely.
Thank you
so much.
We'll finish up this hour with a piece by Florence Price, who was a mid-20th century composer, African-American woman, great friends with William Grant Still, who arranged her piano piece into a chamber orchestra. Let's hear a tune called Nimble Feet.